Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So you could just see $100,000,
$600,000
deducted.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written, and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And Master Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package gonna go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Okay, today I'll jump off topic and we're going to go to 773 here momentarily. We had to start late because I had some business to attend to offline, but we got that out the way. Big blessings on that. And $9,000 homes. That's what our jump off topic is today. And also, just a reminder, we have an expanded podcast, which is titled $2,500 Homes. But today we're going to talk about $9,000 homes. So if you, and it's real simple, you know, if you can't afford a $90,000 house or a $390,000 house, you might want to check out a $9,000 house. So we want to put that out there because we'll be talking about that quite often. Before we go to the phone lines here, because I'm looking for something. Oh, matter of fact, let's just open it up. Wait a minute. We got to do an interlude here. We'll probably go, you know what, let me go to the phone lines. That'll be easier. Because I can't coordinate all this stuff that quick. So I'm waiting for my... and the evening podcast is on like at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that podcast is titled $2,500 Home. So these are homes that you can get into... or make or create for $2,500. That's real basic, bare bones. And it's a variety of different homes. Some people have a $2,500 home that's a car, made from a car, a van, treehouse, house on stilts, or a traditional-looking house is just a really tiny help. So that's at 6:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. We started, we started Saturday, but that was like 3 minutes. Sunday we did 8 minutes. Now we didn't do anything yesterday. So, but we'll be back on Thursday. But that's a brand new. We haven't even pumped out 5 episodes on that yet. Okay, 773. Your mic is open.
Buenos dias, mi amigo. ¿Cómo estás?
Buenos dias. Buenos dias.
¿Cómo estás? How are you?
Do I answer back? ¿Cómo se usted?
You can say, how are you feeling? Is it bien, así, así, or mal? Mal, which is bad.
All right, I don't have my notes in front of me, and I have not been practicing.
No, it's three choices. Bien, así, así.
Bien,
so,
which
so.
Is good.
So, or mal. Mal, which is like malfunction, bad functioning. So, all right, you're doing
okay.
Good. So, I want to actually tell you that I really appreciate you opening up the door. And I'm Lady Reba Soul, for the listeners. I'm a singer, Spanish teacher, and I sometimes co-host this podcast. I was encouraged to promote Reba Media, so we're going to be looking at something soon from that. Certainly, Brother Elliot, I appreciate you, but you're going to open up at 6:30 for my friends who are working a podcast slot, so I appreciate that. So I'll be able to, hopefully, if you don't mind, we can do the speed Spanish, which should be, let's say, about 3 minutes. So I'll just pick someone from the audience. You just pick a random person from the audience. And timing is everything because it's speed Spanish. And, of course, a person needs to think, so we'll be able to give them some time. Is that a one-hour show, 6:30?
We're 6:30 to 7 for the first month, and then we'll open it up to probably at least an hour at prime time. So, but for this month, 30 minutes.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we'd have to shorten it if you'd like to incorporate that. And I'm sure with all of the migrants here from Venezuela and other parts of Spanish-speaking lands, we'd have some people interested in learning Spanish. So we'll just shorten it, and I'll do like be more like an infomercial where I'm sharing some information, and then if those that are interested, they can get a little bit more on the AM podcast the next day or the next Monday, or reach out to me to learn more about learning Spanish. Fun, fast, and easy is my slogan with Lady Reba Soul. Yeah. So I'm excited. Thank you so much for that. I do want to say that.
Okay. Now, besides Spanish lessons, what else has been going on with you? Business-wise, anything else?
Yeah. So we're going to be promoting the Little Johnny Student workbook, the Life Skills and Literacy Manual. So the schools will be getting it this school year, getting the Spanish for free when they get the Life Skills and Literacy Manual. So it deals with conflict resolution and avoidance, I would say, because children are learning how, if they're in different scenarios, how they would handle it. So there's food for thought. It's like a reflection. So it's actually a well-thought-out curriculum. It's a full curriculum of 22 different lessons that can be broken down into maybe one lesson a day or one aspect of the reading and the literacy. There are different activities like how to write a haiku, how to write a business letter, how to write a letter of advocacy in the community, let's say to get drug paraphernalia out of the candy stores or the local gas stations and things like that. So I'm excited about that. We do have our event coming up, and that's going to be August 17th. I wish you could be here in Chicago, Brother L.A. So we're going to actually be at Sip and Talk, Mara Sip and Talk with Lady Reba Soul, to get make a donation to go toward our tiny mobile solar cabin project. you can dial or text 773-449-8839. Again, text for a link to our website, 773-449-8839, and leave a comment if you have any questions, because the phone lines have been getting tied up. There are parents that actually, even though we're getting ready to go back to school, they need tutoring services. So currently, just to give you a heads up, I've been asked to tutor the Spanish. I do have a seven-year-old, and I have some parents. I have a grandmother, so I may just do a grandmother's club. I mean, you know, I'm a grandmother, too, now. So a grandmother's club, Spanish with Granny. Or Gma, Spanish with Gma. Because the grandparents seem to be more, wisdom. Grandparents are serious about the Spanish. Parents will say, I guess they're, you know, they're interested, but I guess they're, like, super busy. But I look at it as excuses, just to give you the heads up. So we, the fundraiser, honestly, we do need support. I'm going to do a Facebook Live fundraiser, and I'll keep you posted, but that's what God is putting on my heart to do, to get that live action. People just want to see, like, there's not only a call to action, Brother Lake, like you said, people want to see something. They see me in action, the videos and so forth. So I've been uploading some videos, and I'll send the updated website to you. However, it's that maybe short and simple, like an infomercial about what we're doing. Even with that GoFundMe, I got a video up there, but it was just a snippet. And the students hadn't gotten into speaking Spanish just yet, but they were doing a STEM type of activity. So, you know, dealing with different chemical processes and, just with some, like, they were making slime. So they used different products and told what that particular product would do, like the shaving cream and things like that. So it was a lot of fun. So the next step to that project was to translate it into Spanish, though. So those, a lot of those children are still at that same school, so that's unfinished business. Yeah, because COVID hit around that time, which is pretty interesting. So we didn't get together. So, yeah.
Right, so COVID. Now, what's your plans? Oh, we're starting up some meetup groups, because meetup has merged up with, Zoom?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some meetup groups, because with meetup groups, you can meet people that are local, and then people that can't make that don't live locally or whatever, they can attend those meetings by Zoom.
Virtual.
So I got to talk. Yeah, virtual, right. So we're going to, I got to call you because we want to start setting those up on and they'll be, we can monetize those too. All right. Reba, yesterday, now we have a theme song now. I think I mentioned it to you in a WhatsApp thing yesterday. So I'm going to play that right now, and then we're going to open up, get your feedback, and then open up the mic for the person who arranged for us to get it.
White man.
There you have it, our de facto theme song that we played on here yesterday for the first time. So, Reba, what's your feedback on that day?
I really, really, really love that song. And guess what? Did you see that? I don't even think I sent you the link. The ironic thing is that, you know, our song, it reminds me of our song, W.F. Doc. Who's done some work with Twista. That song is called Moolah Dance. W.F. Doc is an investor. He was on one time with us, our guest. We wrote a song called Celebrate Your Life. So it kind of has the same.
Now, yeah, that's a good song. I've heard that. You sing that.
I love it. So, yeah, our song is Celebrate Your Life. This is how we celebrate. This is how we celebrate. So, yeah, I'll share that. Maybe tonight, you know, we're going to do that just so they can hear that, too.
Let's send the link to me, then I can, you know, download it and upload it and that type of thing. Now, that day,
that was
that
nice.
Day
I really
tribute,
like
that
song.
The person responsible for getting it on here, 309 Chris Collins. Thank you, Chris. Chris made us aware of the song,
yeah,
and I was able to upload it yesterday.
No, that sounded great. Thank you. I loved it. I'm going to get the man that created that to maybe come on the show tomorrow.
Hi, Chris.
How are you, Reba?
I am well. Yo soy bien, gracias. That was really great. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, we're taking Spanish, Chris, every day.
Every day. No, that's fine. You know, you're welcome.
Right.
Por favor, you know, please, you know, share it. Ain't that what Purple Laura is?
Now, you know, I was thinking about this because Chris says that, you know, the video that they shot in Chicago of the guys, you know, assembling the frame of a tiny house in Chicago. That theme song can go over that. So here's what I'm thinking. Reba, you're a musician. So, I don't know if they call it the mixtape these days or whatever. But imagine that we had a building event and we featured local music all through the event of building. Just an idea.
Yeah, remix, yeah.
Yes,
we did a remake to a compilation.
Right.
That's pretty much, that was my vision for the events that I was trying to hold. I just was working alone. It just wasn't, you know, the support that I was reaching out for, it didn't pan out. You know, I think a lot of times, well, Chicago, just so you guys know, when it comes down to the entertainment industry, from DJs to you name it, there's been some dirty stuff. And I really thank God for God protecting me. You know, you think that people are working with you, and it's just a handful. It's kind of catty. But I'm the type of person, you know, there's enough for everybody. And opening up the door, a lot of times it'll get where the door is open for you, and then they'll try to steal the spotlight or actually get you, you know, kind of take over what you're doing. You know, it's called a takeover spirit in the Christian world, you know. So the thing is, I've learned to, a lot of times, like Chris, we recently just met on this podcast. There are people who are actually just really generous and sincere, and a lot of times it's not your familiar circle. That's what I've learned. So I'm getting a lot of support. Oh, wow, you guys, I certainly would love to have Jay Cross Friend. She's a part of Black Youth Metropolis. She's an entrepreneur. She did my flyers. I don't know if, Chris, you were able to get it, but I'll certainly send you one. I did a summer camp at the Grand Ballroom. Not summer. I was going to do a summer camp. I ended up doing the after-school program, homework help, and then Spanish for the second hour. So that was a lot of fun. But yes, I really appreciate you, Chris, for sharing that song and the idea of what you're saying, LA coming together, you know, different local artists. That would be perfect. That would be perfect.
Yeah, and that's, you got your people are building right. But you got the music, you know, out there, and it would probably increase the production, you know. So,
you know, Reba, when you find out here in a moment exactly who this man is in Chicago, he is the one that puts on the Chicago Arts and Film Festival every year.
Okay. Chicago Arts and Film Festival. What's his name? Do you recall his name?
His name is Warren.
Warren. Because I actually went to a class, and the people who put on the Lollapalooza, one of them was one of my instructors. That was awesome. So Warren, okay.
Yeah.
That was really great.
He was asked to, how that song originated and all, he was asked to write it for Michael Jackson's last album, but he didn't produce.
Oh, okay. Wow. That is awesome. Oh, my God.
And now it's time for us to show people that day.
Yes. That is amazing. That's truly amazing.
Well, if you got that stuff, bring it on. Like I said, we're on twice a day now. So now with test driving the evening, it's 6:30 this evening, and I'll send you both a link for that.
Thanks.
And that, like, now for this month will be just 30 minutes, but that's called $2,500 homes. Today's podcast is just titled $9,000 homes. There's a lot of people just can't even afford a $90,000 house. So, anyway, it's a pretty big niche. that a lot of people aren't covering. So
light hands make many hands make light work.
Many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. So, and like I said, we'll be doing local meetup group as well. So you can attend boots on the ground, or you can attend virtually. So I'll talk to you both about that. And then larger events that we had to plan about 6 months out, maybe in some cases 12, but definitely 6 months out. So everything's monetized as well. So in any event, speaking of 9,000 homes, Chris, let's go with that, you know, that the structure that you guys put together and up in Chicago. Now, how many square feet was that? And then all finished off, what would be the retail cost of that?
That was a 60-square-foot house, and it's actually just a sleeping cabin.
Okay.
But it could have a few amenities put to it, but it's basically a sanctuary for you to be able to sleep.
All right.
And I put windows in it. You know, I've got an 80-inch window in it that's 65 inches tall, and I've got a 65-inch by 64.5-inch window and a 5-foot sliding glass door. So 3/4 of that house is all windows. So you can panoramic view all around you. If you put that in the right spot, it's going to be beautiful. But it can also, the way that one is constructed, it can come off the trailer and be put somewhere. And
now,
I've
seen a 56 square. I've seen something a little bit smaller than 60 square feet, and it had, believe it or not, everything you needed, including kitchen, and they had a cassette or a compact toilet.
Right.
But,
and you would be shocked on how much room is in this when you get in it, because it's 8 foot tall, too. So you have all the ceiling height that you have in your house. So that gives you a lot of wall space to do things. So you can hang beds
the smallest
up there
one,
and fold them out.
The smallest one that I've been in was 84 square feet. I was able to stand up straight in it because I'm 6'8", and it was really big enough for two people. So, however, how big a house is, how small a house is, in my opinion, is psychological. Because I'm looking at the maintenance.
Yeah, I just went tiny yesterday. So, I moved in this morning.
Right.
But it was for me to, you know, just sit back and relax today and look at my bedroom, my living room, my kitchen, my dining room, and my bathroom. And I have that in 8 foot by 24 feet.
Okay. All right. Well, here's one of the things I wanted to, because I'm trying to do some de facto research here. Now, we titled this podcast today, 9,000 Homes. I'm trying to find the sweet spot on, Reba's here. If you're buying a car, do you buy them used or new?
Used. Just first, because I was discouraged from buying new for years. Well, especially for my mom and my stepfather when I was in high school. So I wasn't just being that, get my first house, which did work. So, but now I'm looking at buying new. I'm not sure. No, I still would prefer to get a used vehicle. I got financial goals.
Okay, now, I've got quite a few friends that they're thinking the same way you're thinking, used. Well, now, what's your comfortable sweet spot for buying a used car?
Well, I've actually, for the project's purpose, I put down $1,000 down on a pickup truck for the total would have been like $5,000, you know, taxes close to six. The most that I've spent actually is maybe $3,500, $4,000 on a used car, and they've lasted.
All right,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
And see, the reason why I'm asking that's why like the nighttime, the PM of this, it's titled $2,500 homes. Let me give it a backstory on that. Last week I was in Clubhouse talking to a friend who lives in North Carolina. So he was, you know, sharing that, you know, he lives around the Charlotte area. So we have to take somebody to go buy, you know, they need to buy a used car. So when he pulled up to the place, the sign, you know, in the parking lot was cars under $2,500.com. So I said, oh, man, that caught my attention. So I went online and, you know, looked it up. And I said, man, this dude can make $1 billion if he just franchised that name alone. So I said, well, how can we do this for housing? Because now here where I'm at, when I wanted to rent out my backyard, I got the idea from Airbnb. But the people that called me, they were calling me that they just wanted a place to park. You know, some had campers, some had RVs. So I rented my driveway for like $400 a month, you know, and that's been going on for over 2 years now. So one of the things I discovered, because I was talking to one of the people, and there's a whole lot of people that lit those prices that you just talked about, Reba. There's a whole lot of people living in. I even bought a house. It's only 144 square feet. I bought it right before the pandemic and got rid of it soon after the pandemic started. I bought it for like $1,000. So, you know, so I say that, you know, that's a huge market that you can, I mean, you can even put something together like that. So that's why I tell today, podcast today, $9,000 homes, nothing $10,000. Well, they're exceptions because just like a car, particularly a new car, if you want to get, what do they call those, add-ons, then the price goes up. Yeah, but Reba, thanks for sharing that with us because I know friends that, one friend of mine, anything about $2,000, that's his limit.
That was my mindset at one point, but yeah. So the good thing is that you can make payments here and there, but that was for some years. I was like, I'm not gonna spend any more than $2,000 for a used car.
Okay.
Yeah. So the $2,000, yeah.
Yeah. So I figure, you know, price homes. Yeah, price homes like you do a used car. So, we call it homes because there's a whole lot of variety when it comes to, you know, what we'll have packages. So I'll have that up soon as well. Any other announcement? Like we said, we got started late today because I had an appointment. And one of the things we're going to talk about on both programs is how to solve particularly – getting a hold, like if you've got a financial situation you got to deal with, property taxes, hospital bills, whatever, child support, how to get these small properties, small in price, and then how to we'll be right back. I got kicked out. So I went to Audio.
So, Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, Chris is still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so with these low-priced homes, you know, if you build it or whatever, you buy it for $2,500, and then you can easily resell it for like two or three or maybe four times that. Then you can take, if you got a high tax bill or whatever, you can eliminate it. But we'll be demonstrating on what you can do with these homes. You're gonna get one, live in it, get one, rent it out, get one, raise funds, eliminate a debt. So we'll have podcasts on that, so and whatnot. So look, if any other announcements, anything you guys want to promote, go ahead. Reba.
Oh, gosh. I have this one UConn. Chris, do you have anything to share? Anything coming up? You have anything to share with us? Anything new, community events, anything?
You know, one is we want people to be able to start, you know, we're talking about $9,000 houses right at the moment. And that's basically if you're at 100 square feet, 125 square feet, it's probably around your $9,000 mark. And it is enough room to have a full bathroom, a sleeping area, your kitchen, and a living space. And what's nice about the compact stuff that's today is it folds up and goes against the wall, and you have dual purpose things. And anytime that you're going tiny, I'm learning, the more dual purpose we can do, the better. So I'm just starting to experience it, but I already had ideas this morning on what I was going to do to the back of my house. And I'm going to build an awning that goes, and when it goes up, the grill and everything will come down, and a TV will swing out, and there'll be a full outdoor living area that'll be shaded.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
We start having meetup groups. We're setting up a meetup group network because Reba's in Chicago and Milwaukee. So, and I'll talk to you guys off the air that Chris is in another location, plus he's got a wide network. So if people can't, because we're trying to build a boots on the ground network for projects or events we want to do, meet and greets. But if they can't attend, they can attend virtually because Meetup is, you know, now they have the Zoom element to it. So I'll be calling you guys, if not tomorrow or Friday, definitely by the weekend, but probably before, but no later than Friday on that, because we want to get those active. So when we have an event, we got a critical mass, boots on the ground already. So more on that to come. And which will include the $2,500 is $9,000, the off-grid stuff now, and the perks that go with that, and online e-commerce element where basically people can earn money. All right, so we'll be spreading that out tomorrow as well as Friday. Reba, you got the last word.
I want to share. So I have just connected with UConn, which is an organization that works with ex-offenders. Brother Kale and his wife, a Christian couple that have two sites for their community centers here in Chicago, and they are. I was able to help them. You know, the day I met them, they were going to the second site. They had an event. They were getting some things together. So I was able to go and help at the second site to clean the floors and things like that, clean the bathrooms and spruce it up. It's a larger facility on the southeast side near the cultural center. So that is another place where we can do events. They're interested not only in the Spanish. The mother is a homeschooler. So just wanted to share that UConn, UCON,
Community Development Corporation. So that's a good collaboration, and we're looking forward to implementing the curriculum.
Could you get them on? Because I wanted one time. Housing for retired citizens.
Okay.
Get them on.
Certainly, and that'll be jobs created as well, because that's what we talked about before. So, Chris, I did want to ask you this. So you said that this podcast, we were an inspiration for that model that was built for the tiny structure downtown Chicago. Have you, and talking about networking, Chris, you are on it. You worked with Cornelius Brent, who was the electrician. So have you been in touch with him, I wanted to ask?
I haven't spoke. Cornelius Brent, he was the gentleman that brought me the three guys.
Okay, yeah.
So and I didn't even get any film of him. That was the sad part. So we just had his name put on the video. But
okay,
it wouldn't have happened without Cornelius.
That was awesome.
He was a pivotal point to that whole deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I appreciate him for that. But no, I'm wanting to, I've got a reggae show that I just got informed about by these guys that do the stuff there in Chicago. It's coming up in November.
Okay.
So there's a huge reggae event in November. Well, we want to be able to do some things. They had asked me about getting a hold of the Wailers and seeing about them coming.
Okay. I'm familiar with the Wailers. Awesome. You do have a vast network. So, Cornelius is my fiance's cousin, and just been out of touch a little bit. I have a new phone, so I did see a page on Facebook, so I'm just looking to hear back from him because he's an electrician for the listening audience. He was able to not only pull those guys together. Those guys actually worked Cornelius, and they networked and met at one of our fundraisers at the Grand Ballroom. So that was pretty cool. And then the next thing you guys were working, I ended up missing that, just being out of the loop. And I was actually in Milwaukee at the time, I believe. But nevertheless, I really appreciate you for, taking when God gives you a vision, just taking it and run with it. So that's something that I've shared. That project, and I'm really grateful that is a big deal. So I wanted to just let the listening audience know that we are going to still offer the math and reading, English tutoring, along with the Spanish, and you can dial 773-449-8839. Again, the number 773-449-8839. For the links to the various websites. So RebuildLaMaestra.com is for the Spanish, same number, just text. And Rebuild La Maestra means rebuild the teacher in Spanish. So we'll look forward to seeing everybody on at 6:30 tonight. So I'll put the word out. I'll look for the links from you, L.A. Brother L.A., are you still there?
He's trying to get back to his mute button.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, Chris. And now, I'll certainly touch base with you when we end the podcast. I don't know if he was just going to go to 11:30, which is 11:29 now.
Yeah, I think that's what he was doing.
Okay. All right. So, well, I guess we'll see you guys. Any listening audience, feel free to dial one, press one when you want to speak, and because it's not automatic, you'll need to dial one when you call into the podcast tonight, and just find us on Facebook, Earth Wealth.
Is that on 6:30 Central Time or is that Eastern Time?
It's going to be Chicago time. It's going to be our time, yeah.
Perfect.
You're
gonna, yep,
yeah.
Yep.
So, all right. Have a great day, you guys. Hang on, buen dia.
Yes, ma'am. Buenos dias.
Bye-bye.
Morning, people, wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Crush your morning goals with a steak, egg, and cheese bagel or any breakfast sandwich and snag another one for just a buck with the buy one, get one deal. Only in the McDonald's app. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid once per day. Must opt into rewards.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.